CliffCentral.com.
Good Friday morning, everybody. Jesus. I love a Friday. I can't help myself. I'm like a kid in a candy store on a Friday. Yes. Excited and happy. Nobody can get me down on a Friday. Try your best. All right. Got a weekend ahead of us. We got lots of things to talk about. We got plenty to be excited about today. And according to my load according to my load shedding schedule, this is very exciting. Let me just read this to you. This is so great. So I don't have that app that everybody has. So I'm on the neighborhood WhatsApp group, and they sent this to me yesterday. Like, oh, it's exciting. We've got, today's Friday the 23rd of September, right? So we had load shedding from 2 in the morning till 4:30, which I wouldn't even notice. Then 10 this morning till 12:30, and then a bonus at 6 o'clock this evening from 6 to 10:30. So if I wanted to, I don't know, cook supper, have people around, forget about that shit. It's not going to happen. Tonight, from 6 to 10:30. Nothing. Can't do it. This is nothing. There's nothing that's good. We're not going to be able to do it. So, going to get cross about it, or are you going to just laugh at it? Because it's, I just said on the group, oh, that's wonderful. And then some people don't understand irony or sarcasm. So they were like, no, it's not actually. So I've also realized this week, it's really not good to be on the neighborhood WhatsApp group. Or if you are on there, mute it and don't ever comment. Like, don't try to be funny and try to be like, so there's new neighbors moved in the same group, and everybody's saying, welcome, welcome, welcome. And I was like, I don't feel the peer pressure that everyone else does to say welcome. And I'm sure I'll get my turn to say welcome to them at some point, but like right now, I don't feel like the pressure is there for me to have to say welcome as well, so I'll get to it. Good morning. If you're up and about and getting your day off to a good start, then I'm with you, keeping you company this morning. Yes, we've got Mr. Robbie Collins on this morning, which is going to be bloody fantastic. He is a great comedian, great South African comedian. Everybody loves him, and we're happy that he's on finally. You know, we try to bring you really cool and interesting people. And I've got to say, that this is a terrible thing to say, but, you know, we're all about honesty here on this show. So there are not that many really interesting people. I know that, you know, someone once said to me that if the interview is bad, it's because the interviewer isn't working hard enough. Like, you can find a reason. Everyone can be interesting. I'm sure you've heard some of the interviews we've done on this show where you've thought, ooh, Gareth's pulling teeth here because this is a boring guest. And yes, sometimes I can pull teeth, and I'm always happy to try and discover, because I do think everyone in the world has something to teach you. There's always something you can learn from someone. But with some people, it's really hard work. And I don't want you to work hard. I don't want you to feel the pressure of like, ooh, Gareth's trying hard to get something out of this guest for us. Because I do want to deliver the goods for you, right? But I've got to say, like, some people are really not that interesting. You know, because you don't have to have a show to be able to understand this. Have you ever been put next to someone at dinner, for example, or at an event where you had to make small talk with somebody, and you just realized within seconds that this person was going to bore you to death, and that the very best thing you could do is get the hell away from them? Well, I sometimes feel, rarely, but I do sometimes feel like that with some of the people we've had on the show. Very fortunately, it doesn't happen often, and usually you only, you know, you get fooled once by people like that, so you just don't invite them back. But what I was getting to with the point about Gord Laws and Robbie Collins, who are two of my favorite people, is that like some people, it's just easy to talk to. Some people, you can't shut them up, like Gord. I mean, he's, on a good day, Gord is the best person to have on the show. But sometimes, I mean, even even I. I mean, I know I have days like last Thursday, poor Pumi had to bear the brunt of it. And I was grumpy and I wasn't particularly entertaining. So it happens to everybody. I mean, it happens to, I reckon, the most interesting people on earth, whoever you think the most interesting people on earth may be, they also have bad days, right? So forgive yourself if you're the guy who's having a bad day. And understand and be a little sympathetic if it's someone else, I suppose. Anyway, we've got Gordo and we got Robbie Collins, so we're in for a bumper day today on the show. Lots of stuff to talk about. I have to get one thing off my chest because it was, I reckon it's probably the thing that got the most attention on my social media the whole year so far and happened this week. I basically posted this thing. Let me just see if I can call it up because it was yesterday, so I'm just worried it might be, but you know, it might have already expired or whatever. And I'm not clever enough to figure out how to go back and work out what I've already posted and what's no longer there. Anyway, it was like this thing about, I saw a tweet from someone who said they haven't met anybody who doesn't regret getting the vaccine. So I don't want to go down that whole COVID minefield, but the point is, and you know I'm always going to tell you what I really think and how I really feel about something, even if I know it's going to just scratch open a hornet's nest and cause me irreparable fucking damage. I do regret I got the two Pfizer shots last year, about this time last year. The first one was fine. I didn't feel a damn thing. Didn't bother me. I was like, okay, well, that was nothing. That was like, you like play acting. You know, like with the masks or anything else that we did during COVID. I was like, eh, all right, done. And then the second one, I did get a bit sick for, but not deathly sick or anything. I just felt a bit shitty for like 2-3 days. And it was over before it had begun. So I also didn't think too much of that. And then I was like, well, okay, now I can travel. Because that was the main reason I did it, right? Is I knew I had a trip or two coming up this year. And I just didn't want to have to deal with the hassle of either spending money on a plane ticket and then you can't fly or whatever. So I did it. But it was under duress. And I really do wish now, looking back, I hadn't done it. Because it did nothing for me. And of course, you're going to be people who are going to say, oh, well, it did nothing for you because it prevented you from getting COVID. But I don't know that I didn't get COVID because I'm fairly sure that at some point in the last year, I've had flu or something like flu, which could have been COVID. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was. I don't know. But it certainly didn't, in any measurable way, help me along. Now, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, so I don't want to go down that road again, because I got it, right? If I were an anti-vaxxer, I wouldn't have got it. But I have yet to meet someone, and this was the point of the Instagram post that got so much attention, and none of the attention it got was of the kind that I'm about to describe. No one said, oh, I'm so glad I got that vaccine. Not one reaction. So I just feel like, and it's not something that's going to haunt me to my grave or, you know, make me think every day about what terrible errors I've made in my life. It's not that important to me. But I do think that this very experimental and not necessarily effective vaccine, by the admission of the makers of the vaccine, I saw the Trudeau government just said that they have figured out that airlines and so on were never vectors for transmission anyway. But they were fairly convinced they were, which is why you had to get them to travel in Canada. The vaccines, that is. And now they're all admitting, all the stuff that was conspiracy theory a year or two ago, they're all admitting now, with no repercussions for them. There were huge repercussions for anyone who questioned any of this stuff, right? Remember that? So we have to talk about it because it's unfinished business. And I know people are sick of talking about this. I'm aware of the fact that right now there are people listening to me going, oh, really, must we talk about this shit? But when I posted it, it got the most reaction of anything I've posted this whole year. And COVID's been over for like a year. You know, Joe Biden said it was over last week. But if you got this vaccine and you regret it, you're by far in the majority. And a lot of people said to me in the comments, because I got so many, you know, you get message requests, like these are people who obviously I don't follow or whatever, but they follow me. And these people were like, you know what? I was forced to do it by my boss. I was forced to do it by my family, whoever. There was duress. There was definitely duress there. These are not people who were like really motivated to go and get the vaccine. I'm going to march down there and get it. I can't wait to get the vaccine. And I remember there were a lot of people who were like that when it happened. I don't know where they are now, why they've gone so quiet, but you know, these pharmaceutical companies have admitted the efficacy of the vaccines is way, way less than they told us it was. They were telling us like 95%. And then they revised that right down to 30-odd percent. And I mean, forgive me if I'm not getting the numbers exactly right, but it turns out that neither were they, and it was all a thumbsuck anyway. So I'm curious that out of all the things I've talked about on social media this year, and I haven't really done anything on Twitter, but on Instagram, which is still a fun place some of the time, I posted this thing this week, and this is the one that got the most people talking. So I just thought, cool, okay, that's something we got to talk about on the show. Rusty says, I'm sorry, Gareth, there are many regrets. You're not the only one. Well, again, like I'm really not sitting here going, ugh, you know, I've ruined my life. But I do feel like an idiot for going along with what was a fad and what didn't do what it said on the packaging and what was essentially a social contagion and a thing where we were hugely pressurized by governments, by the medical industry, by pharmaceutical companies, even by pliant doctors. You know, I'm not going to go down that really, because now once you say this, then all the crazy people from the other side come in, like they say to you, oh, but you must get on these herbal things because that'll counteract the vaccine. And I'm not in that crowd, right? I'm not in the this stuff is definitely a poison that's trying to like reduce the population and Bill Gates is involved. And I'm not in that whole fucking crew either. So don't get me wrong. But I'm in that middle group of people who were never really convinced and are now, even though we went along and did the right thing, because we were told it was the right thing for us and for everyone else, remember? And now I regret that. I'm like, you made a dumb mistake. You should never listen to those assholes. And I will never again. I mean, you know, once bitten, twice shy is the thing. So I don't think I'll make that mistake again. And I don't think a lot of us will. Us purebloods, says Peter, are smug now. You see, that's what they call. They're actually calling themselves this, the people who didn't get the vaccine, the purebloods. So this makes it sound even wackier. But I kind of wish I was with you guys. And I think a lot of people do. Not one comment that I got was the opposite way, that like they were thrilled that they got the vaccine. Steve says, lol, I have pure blood, not tainted. All right, well, fine. My chiropractor blames the vaccine for my recent ailments. Chiropractor, not a real doctor. Vaccine, not a real medicine. This is an argument I don't care about. Lisa says, Gareth, how many jabs have you had? I had the two Pfizers. Which was the minimum. You know, you couldn't get the one. It was like half. So I had to get both. And looking back, here's what I would have done. I should have gone and got a fake certificate. I should have got the fucking bullshit thing. I should have got one of those fake ones. I should have gone to a doctor who I could have paid money. They could have got me a fake vaccine certificate. That's what I will do. And in future, that's what I will do. Hold me to this. Because I'm going to do it that way. You'll never know. I mean, like, it's going to look legit. Henny says, I remember a whole bunch of people I have on social media were bragging about getting it and posting stupid selfies. Oh, do you remember those idiots, those morons, those... go and look up those people if you know them and embarrass them now. You've got to mock those people. Some stuff deserves mockery, especially with the benefit of hindsight and how we know now how stupid this whole thing was. Go and find those people who posted their jab pictures and mock them relentlessly. unvaccinated sperm is going to become a huge commodity. You see, this is what I hear from the other side, who are just this crazy. Never needed the vaccine 3 years ago, don't need it now. Never felt ill throughout this time. Emma says, when Dr. Malone, who created the mRNA technology, says the vaccines aren't safe, that says it all. I remember him saying that, and he got banned from social media. The guy who invented the technology that makes mRNA vaccines. Remember? That was when I was like, that sounds a bit dodge. Yes, Gareth, we know you're right, but can we stop talking about COVID, says Christine. Christine, if all you've taken out of this is that I wanted to tell you how right I was, you haven't listened to anything I've said. I was talking about regret. And if I was so right, I wouldn't have got the thing in the first place. So you're not listening. Gavin says, do you think your opinion would have been different if you'd lost someone close to you due to COVID? Well, I mean, I told you my dentist died from COVID. But no, I don't think it would have been different if it was someone closer to me. No. And I have got a friend whose dad died of this, and he and I have had arguments about it from time to time. But here's the problem, is that the vaccine did not do what they told us it would do. They told us there was a 95% chance that you would not die from COVID if you got the vaccine. Remember that? That was made up nonsense. They've revised it themselves. The very people who told us that have changed their mind quietly and, you know, just kind of slid through. So, remember the ivermectin brigade? Oh, yeah. Look, we're going to stop talking about it, but it was the biggest thing this week on my social media, so I thought it deserved some discussion this morning. Let's just leave it at that. All right. Lots of other things to talk about. I've got a really shocking statistic to share with you, and we'll maybe do it before Gord comes in a little bit later on. And I was going to do a whole thing this morning on like bad manners, because I saw this great thing on Instagram that I actually shared yesterday as well, about how, you know, like there's basic social stuff that people just don't know. Like, let me go to it. It's this thing called mindset therapy that I follow. It's like 15 unspoken rules that may help you. And I thought, wow, people don't know this stuff? Again, you know, sometimes it's not because other people are ignorant or dumb or they haven't had the kind of education or the kind of parenting that you had when you were a kid. Sometimes it's just that you're lucky that you did. And the difference is big, by the way. But here's this thing. So it goes through 15 of these rules. Tell me how many of these are surprising to you. Number one, don't call someone more than twice continuously unless it's really urgent. And if they don't pick up until they return the call, they might be sleeping, sick, busy, or have something important going on. What kind of person calls for a non-urgent thing three times in a row and thinks that's okay? I thought that was fairly obvious, but there's more. Number two, if you borrow money from someone, return it even before they ask for it. Yeah. Yeah, why does that need to be in a list? Number three, when someone treats you to lunch or dinner, don't buy the most expensive dish on the menu. Also treat them the next time. Yes. I thought that was obvious. I mean, how are people being raised if that's not something that you consider? You go, someone treats you to lunch or dinner and you order the lobster thermidor just to, because they're paying? That is the kind of person that anyone who is friends with them now will not be friends with them after that happens. It'll be the kind of thing that they will tell everybody about you if you do that. The social cost of making that error is enormous. Number four, be nice and kind to waiters, cleaners, helpers, drivers, or anyone offering you a service. Treat them with the same respect you'd give the manager or CEO. Fair enough, right? Obvious, right? Number five, always open the door for the person coming behind you. My dad used to, he would be furious with me. You'd get a clap if you walked in before your mother or before a woman or before anyone, female or older. You were in big trouble. So again, like this is small. And if you're a parent, I understand you got a lot on your plate to teach your kids. you can't always get everything across, but these are things that matter. If you take a taxi with a friend and he or she pays now, you pay the next time. Again, yes, it doesn't matter who's got more money. Number seven, respect different shades of opinions. Remember, what's six to you will appear nine to someone facing you. Yes, I do have to add the proviso on this one, that not all opinions are equal. There are really ignorant and stupid people, and sometimes you either can choose to not argue with them at all and just get away and not have to engage, especially if you don't really care for that person. But if it's someone you care about and you have the time and the inclination, having an argument's never a bad idea. I mean, like, you will very quickly figure out how much you want that person to be your friend if you're prepared to engage in a real argument with them. And it can be extremely revivifying to have a good argument. Number eight, never interrupt people talking. Wait until they finish, then say what you want. Yeah. Yes. Except if they're droning on and on and on forever. Because some people also have never been taught that you could keep it short. Number nine, if you tease someone and they don't seem to enjoy it, stop and never do it again. Okay. But these days, it's huge sensitivity, right? So these days, everyone expects to be treated with kid gloves the whole time. There's a lot of reality and life that will have to manifest itself to people somewhere along the journey. And you don't have to be the one that teases them or mocks them or makes them feel silly. But as I said earlier about the people we must mock for having posted their jab photographs last year or whatever, sometimes people need to be teased to know that they've gone wrong. And teasing doesn't always have to be like devastating and destructive and make them cry for the rest of their lives. It can just be like a gentle poking of fun. There is still a very good, healthy area of teasing, which is necessary. In fact, kids employ this to great effect when they are young and they're playing games. And it is a terrific socializing tool. So there is a certain amount of teasing that's not just healthy and necessary, but actually really good for you. If anyone has never been teased, you can spot them from a mile away, and they have major social problems, social acclimatization problems, let's say. So that's good. That's good advice too. Say thank you when someone's helping you. Wow, that you have to put that in this list. Number 11, don't break your promise or don't make one if you're not sure you can keep it. Well, that's about integrity, which is the most valuable thing in business. Forget about in relationships, where obviously it's even more important, or at least the same. Friendships, integrity, integrity, integrity. I mean, like, it's the most valuable characteristic in almost every survey that's ever been done. It's like, if you break a promise, if your word is no good, then you are no good. So I'm glad that one's on the list. But again, some of this stuff seems to me kind of obvious. And then I realized, like, it isn't, because people don't have manners. And this isn't just manners. This is like, these are the essential ingredients to having a happy life and to making yourself a positive influence on the world rather than a negative one. Number 12, when someone tells you a secret, take it with you to your grave, even if you wake up as enemies the next morning. That is a tough thing to do. Of course, it's absolutely right, but I don't know a lot of people who you can trust with secrets. obviously, it depends, you know, also on how important the secret is. There are some things people have told me that I've never told a soul, that I know it's not worth telling a soul. It would do irreparable damage to the friendship, the relationship, the family member, our communication, whatever it might be. But on a scale of, like, would this, you know, completely change the world? Probably not. But it's just a question of, like, you're honoring the agreement that you made with them. Number 13, when someone shows you a photo on their phone, don't swipe left or right. You never know what's next. Yeah. That they've got to come up with an app where you can show someone a photo and it just locks that photo onto the screen. because this happens to everybody and you don't know what's going to happen next. And yes, that's good advice, but it just somehow doesn't fit with these other important things on the list. Number 14, don't fix a time without being punctual yourself. Oh, this is such a big thing. I remember, and I've said this before on the show, so I hope it's not boring, but my first lesson in business was I arrived late for a meeting. It was traffic. It wasn't my fault, but it kind of was because I should have left earlier if I thought there might be traffic. I arrived 10 minutes late for an appointment, and I'd never met this person before, and she said to me, "You're 10 minutes late. This meeting is cancelled." And I'd driven 40 Ks to be there. And I said, "I'm really sorry. I'll do anything to make it up." She said, "No. What you've done by arriving 10 minutes late is you've said to me your time is more valuable than mine. And it isn't, because you asked for this meeting with me, not the other way around. Bye-bye." So I learned a very hard lesson there and then. And it's a good one to remember. It's a bad habit. Take time management seriously, because time is actually money for many people. Number 15, the last one. Never talk about your riches in the midst of the poor. That's such an ugly thing, and you see a lot of it on social media here. Similarly, don't talk about your children in the midst of the barren. The barren. Yeah, that's also good advice, I suppose. But I just looked at this list and I thought, wow, some of this stuff's pretty obvious and amazing and interesting, but some of it clearly isn't stuff that people have been taught. And some of it, as we've discovered going through the list, it requires a little bit of thought and even a bit of life experience, but a really good list nonetheless. Punctuality is the politeness of kings, says Vyasan. First time listening since my move to Australia at the beginning of September. I hope it's gone well, Ricky. Let us know. We had a really interesting update from Ben the other day. He said Melbourne is like the greatest city he's ever been to. So I don't know where in Oz you are, but tell us. The mafia has a rule. Three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead. Your word is your bond, says Rusty. Let your yes be your yes and your no be your yo. Your no. Tracy says that list should be called A Guide to the Universe and How Not to Be an Arsehole. Yeah. Manners maketh man, says Duds. Absolutely. You can't run and scratch your anus at the same time. That's a good one to remember. I think these are great. This is a good list. And even if a lot of people didn't know this stuff before, they will be immeasurably improved by knowing this list. So I'm glad I found it and shared that one as well, because it made a lot of sense to me. Like each one of those, you go, okay, yeah. Regarding the photo thing, there should be a cap on how many photos people show you during a conversation. I get so annoyed when people can't have a conversation without showing me 100 photos or a meme or a joke, or, you know, like you could do that stuff without having to be present with each other. I just think when you're with somebody, don't waste the time by being on your screen. Number 16, Steve's adding to the list. Always look someone in the eyes when raising glasses or shaking hands. Yeah, that's kind of important. People who can't look you in the eye, they're shifty people, usually. Or they have major confidence issues. So it's worth considering that as an important part of, you know, normal human interaction. And you'd be surprised, like some people are, it's respectful to not look someone in the eye. There are some cultural considerations here. So, in some cultures, you don't look people in the eye because it's confrontational. In Western culture, it's regarded as a sign of respect and equality to be able to look each other in the eye and break bread. You know, the old idea of being able to break bread with someone is you're allowing them into your house and you're sharing food, which means you would share resources, which means you are in true cooperation and you consider each other friends and equals. So that used to be code for, you know, if I would break bread with you, we could do a deal. We can deal with each other. Speaking of the mafia, Gareth, you should watch a series called The Offer. It's brilliant. It's about the making of the Godfather film. So Michelle, someone said to me, you've got to watch the show, and it's apparently brilliant. I certainly regard the recommendation from this person who recommended it highly, because she doesn't recommend shit things usually. But I don't know that it's apparently very detailed, and I'm not sure I'm that interested. I love the Godfather movies, don't get me wrong, but it sounds like it's a big thing to bite off and chew. Here's some great advice from Robin. You can't ride two horses with one backside. I think that was what we were talking about two mornings ago. Hey, Gareth, when Gord comes on, please let him talk and don't interrupt him so much. Thanks, regards of pure blood. I love it. All right, so let's get into it. Here is Gordo. Hey, Gordlaws, how the hell are you?
Good morrow, everyone.
Good morrow. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I have temporary curtains up because I can't get curtains. Don't judge me.
I thought you were in a... Because when did you put them up? Are those sheets that you've just put over the windows?
No, they're like curtains with hoops. Oh. And I've got a thing with a crack. They're also hideously blue. Long story. I haven't been able to purchase suitable curtains.
All right.
I had a proper like Sharon moment, or Karen moment, as they call it, when I went to Woolworths at V&A.
Yes.
And you can have any kind of curtain you want as long as it's either extra length or extra width. All of their ordinary width curtains are extra length, and all of their ordinary length curtains are extra width. I pterodactyl screamed in the store. Moving as hell, dude. Like, it's the worst. I'm 2 weeks into it, and I still have blue drapes, like, rudimentarily hung over the rail. It's the worst. And I went to the waterfront just for that. I hate malls, dude. And the waterfront, I will say, is like, as far as a mall goes, it's beautiful. I mean, it's like, I've been away and I got back and I'm like, this is fantastic, but I still hate it.
You know, some stuff...
So I need to order stuff.
There's some stuff people just hate shopping for. I'm not a big fan of food shopping. I don't mind going to buy things like curtains or whatever. That to me, because I know they're going to be there for a long time. It's not something that I'm going to eat today and shit out tomorrow and it's done. You know, like if it's going to be in my house for like 10 years. No, if it's going to be in my house for 10 years, then I want to apply some thought to it. So it's important for me that I buy the stuff I like. But, you know, even clothes are a bit of a stretch, because there's not a lot of clothing that you'll still have in 10 to 20 years' time, right?
Oddly, I have 10-year-old clothing and I'm trying to get rid of it because I went through a skinny patch many years ago, and I kept some of the nicer things. And so having gotten back into them, I'm like, I kept this for 10 years.
That's cool.
And it's kind of aged badly. Some of it's dope though. I've got a limited edition Adidas Def Jam Ghostface Killer jacket that I like wear all the time. I'm like, this thing is so dope.
The
coolest jacket of 2010.
Are you one of those people who makes a list of stuff when you go shopping, or you just go to the shops and look?
I make a list and then don't take it with me. I write it down on a piece of paper and then forget it.
God.
I don't remember. And then I get to the shop and I'm like, fuck, I made
That's
a
so
list.
Stupid.
And I'll also always forget a crucial thing.
That is so stupid. Why don't you just do it on your phone? That's what one of the best things about these phones is, these lists you can make of everything.
I that's part of the frustration. That's part of what makes it so infuriating, is I could just take a photo and I don't.
So I was going through this list of like basic things, like for example, you know, if someone treats you to lunch, where are you going, Gord?
I just grabbed something. I'm back.
Okay. I was going through this list of like, you know, basic manners, like if you take someone for lunch, they shouldn't order the most expensive thing on the menu. You know, like basic menu, basic rules for life, simple things that will make you less of a douchebag. And we went through 15 of them before you came on this morning. And I know you've got this issue with like basicness in people, and just how there are so many people who've just got no idea of how to behave. You know, I was, for example, you could see it on the roads a lot where people just put on their hazards and stop in the middle of the road. You're like, okay.
The law off button.
Yeah,
the triangular button.
Yes. Yeah, you can see it also in shops where these people just stop in the middle of the aisle and they don't care what's going on around them. You could see some of these like Hausfraus, and they're busy looking on the shelf and at now let me compare the price of this spaghetti with that spaghetti with that. They take like a while. I was standing behind someone in the shop the other day, and I couldn't get past because she'd put her trolley right across the aisle, and she had no spatial awareness. She was completely unaware of the woman on the other side coming towards me and me going from this side towards the other woman, and she'd blocked the aisle, and she had no compunction or, you know, when I get in someone's way, my immediate, like, I want to get out of people's way more than I
even. I've got a actual phobia of being in the way.
Yes.
Like, it's a real thing.
Yes.
I panic. I'm like stuck in a corridor or in an entry point to something. Like, you get people, I remember when I used to jaw a bit, and people will arrive at like a packed nightclub and they'll be like, oh god, like nowhere to stand, right? But look at this. Yeah. They've left this wonderful area just for me and my six friends to stand and have our little jaw
right in,
like,
the doorway.
That's the entrance. You notice everyone squeezing past you like this? That's because it's the entrance. Move, asshole.
But I wonder what it is, because in childhood, I mean, like, I would get a clap. I mentioned earlier, I used to get claps from my dad if I tried to go through a door before a woman or before someone who's older than me. I'd have to hold the door open for them, otherwise I'd get a clap. But I also remember as a kid, if I was in the way, like, I would get shat on. So immediately, someone in the family would say, Gareth, get out of the fucking way, you know, straight away. So I knew to stay out of the way. And I think that was a really good thing to learn, even if, you know, their parents these days would never talk to their children like that. You know, you see these precious little kids who can do no wrong. Parents are like, oh, no, please don't talk to my children like that. And I think, no, you're doing them a massive disservice, because they must never think that everyone else is going to try and accommodate them. Especially when they're young, they must be told that you're in the way, get out of the fucking way. And I do think that no one on the roads in South Africa seems to have been told this. It's like, just make yourself as unobtrusive as possible in order to facilitate a happy day for everyone else. It's like, it's a little thing, right?
It's a bad analog to say you should treat walking in public like you do traffic, because people are terrible in traffic.
Yes.
Traffic is like a microcosm of everything that's wrong with the world.
Yeah.
There's like, there's two types of arsehole. So once you do something arseholic on the road, we've seen you not drive properly, to do the wrong thing. We've watched you not obey the basic rules or courtesy. So now it's just a particle superposition. Are you a type A arsehole or a type B arsehole? We know you're an arsehole, right? But now we want to just pull you over, and without road rage and a fight, just be like, excuse me, I'm sorry to bother. We know that you're an arsehole based on what you just did. Are you oblivious to the fact that it wasn't your turn, in which case you don't know how to drive and are therefore incompetent? Or did you know it was your turn and you're always right and go because it's you, majestic, special you? So the analog is bad to say that you should treat it like traffic, because you would still just walk like an asshole. But this is something I've noticed. I always thought like South Africans are bad at this. And, you know, having traveled a lot recently, I've come to realize that everywhere in the world, people have zero concept of walking in public.
Yeah.
You either stand next to six of your friends holding hands so that you can make sure you form as wide of a barricade as you can, and then walk really slowly.
Yeah.
And not notice that people are walking into the freeway to try and get around you. And another thing people love to do is look in one direction and walk in another. So, you know, you're walking that way, and you're walking ahead, and you're looking over your shoulder and checking the one behind you.
The other one is obviously the phone, because people are on their phones the whole time, so they walk while they're looking on their phone, and they don't look in front of them, so they just walk right into other people or into things. Now, it's fine if they walk into
Just stop.
If they walk into
Just stop.
Or just stop, like,
do their taxes in the middle of the promenade. Also, this is something where I always wonder to myself, like, do I need to take special care because I'm on rollerblades? Now, you can change that for a skateboard, a bicycle,
anything.
Roller skates,
getting
a trolley, a scooter. Mm-hmm. But especially when you're on the sidewalk, because I skate on the prom all the time. And I don't actually skate on the promenade in Sea Point sometimes, but it's like I don't go on the paved walky bit. I go on the pavement on the other side, the one that runs along the road.
Yes.
And it's like double wide and it's mostly smooth and lovely for skating. So
sure.
Like then, you know, I kind of wondered to myself, do I need to like be triple cautious? I do, because I don't want to die.
Sure.
But
of course.
Is it my responsibility to like leap out of the way of people, or should people be aware that it like works a little bit like a freeway? You can't just pull on. You need to like check if something is coming at speed before you just walk, and people just change direction. So someone will be looking forward, walk forward, and then like, oh yeah, like over there is a shop, and just turn and go, and you're like, oh my god, suddenly a truck has changed lanes in front of you while you're going. It's like the freeway equivalent of a truck pulling into the fast lane while you're going 140.
Correct.
Children are the, you know, the freeway in the Matrix is like where the code goes crazy and anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you see a child on the, when you're skating, you just have to assume that it's going to find a way to travel 5 meters in 1 second and like rugby tackle you. They just get out of the car door and they just run.
Yep.
And people are like, cool, there's nothing here that can kill the child. There's no cyclists. Just run, little Devin.
Run amok.
Have a run. Yeah. In any direction you like. I'll open the car door from the pavement and you sprint across the pavement in, toward the ocean.
Yeah. Listen, here's some examples that are irritating to people. Chase says, ample space in the gym and dudes will train right in front of the water fountain or in the pathways. Yeah. Right. Carl says...
Dudes that leave their weights lying around.
Big time. Yeah. Or put the wrong weights in the wrong places and you get back and then you have to swap them all. Carl says,
yeah, I'm strong enough to lift this 900-kilogram dumbbell with my one hand, but I'm not strong enough to carry it over there and put it back.
Right.
Jeez, like I wish they would just drop dead.
Carl, sure, that's quite angry, hey, Gord. That was, you drop dead, hey? Shit, fuck. Oh, my God, that's hectic. All right, now, Carl says, we used to walk 10 people abreast and sing Move, Bitch, Get Out the Way and just crush anyone in our way. Nice, Carl. Just really, really nice. No, Gord, sorry, these fucking Europeans are worse, says Michael. Escalators are Michelle's worst. Can we all just agree to move over to the left like everywhere else in the world? People turning right, but they're up against the left side of the road. Well, I mean, just people who have not thought more than 2 meters in front of them and then suddenly need to cross like 5 lanes of highway to get on the off-ramp because they, I don't know, they were... distracted by their phone or something. You know what I find beautiful, Gareth?
It's also the your mistake U-turn, right? So like when somebody has not gone into the turning lane because they weren't paying attention or either a type A or a type B asshole, and now it's they need to go straight so everyone behind them can go straight, but they've like not got in the right lane. So they don't go and block the traffic so that they can like go. It's like, no, ass face. Instead of 9 people not being able to go when it's there, instead of 15 people not being able to go so you can go because you've made a mistake. You either knowingly did it, type B, or obliviously did it, type A. Go to the next robot and do a Yui and come back so that everyone who hasn't done something stupid can go in the straight lane.
Correct. Yes, I've often thought like, that. Oh, I think we've all thought that.
I need to turn. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong lane. So so everyone must not go so that I can still because I made a mistake.
Sanele says, and this is beautiful too. Sanele says, you know what I find beautiful is when you're both well-mannered, sensible people and you find yourselves in each other's way and you both try to move but end up on the same side again. You're like that, sorry.
Oh, how polite to each other. Yeah, that's a better problem to have.
That's a nice problem to have.
Yeah, but that does happen. But this is it sort of segues into a later dickheadery thing where it's your right of way, and someone, it's not your right of way. It's the other person's right of way, and they don't go. They stop to let you go when it's their turn. And if they just went when it was their turn, you would be able to.
But
go.
Again, like, oh, you know what, God. So with all this load shedding that's going on, there are a lot of people who don't know how to four-way stop without the traffic lights working. So you get people who are – they don't care and they just go, right? And that's obviously really dangerous and stupid, not to mention very rude. But then there are also those people who are they're too polite. They're like, no, no, go. But you're like, no, the rule is that it's your turn to go.
Yeah.
And that, but that is a better problem to have. Again,
sure.
Like I would always rather deal with the over polite person. It's like, you know, you sometimes go into a lift and then they're like after you and you're like, no, no, you go, and you hold the door open for them and they're like, no, no, you, and it can get like ridiculous, but it's still better than the alternative.
A special hatred for someone who like politely and kindly gestures for you to go when it's your right of way. I'm like, I was going to go anyway. It's my turn. I'm not going because you kindly gave me permission.
Yeah. No, but that's I know, but you don't have to be a douchebag. Tracy says, all those big SUVs who park across three parking spots because they're so important. Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah, or an expensive car in a busy parking. Like, if you're in a parking lot that's half full or less, and you park far away from the entrance, like if you want to park your shiny penis across the middle of two parkings, you know that one where it's clear. It's like this is not bad parking. It's like I need two for my Porsche.
Yeah.
Like if it's shopping center off peak and more than half the parking spaces are empty, and you go as far away from the door and park at the back as possible. Yourself out, but when there's anything like 70% capacity, you can't have two parkings.
No.
You don't get two parkings, cars over R1 million.
Agreed. All right, I just want to move on to a couple of other things because we've got a little bit of time before Robbie Collins comes on. I'm very excited to have him on for the first time this morning. And you got a couple of headlines if we have time for that. But you wanted to talk about things that you loved doing as a kid. And that you still do. I mean, obviously for you, one of them is rollerblading.
Yeah, I had a 22-year lapse in that. I did it from age 10.
But you're doing it again, which I think is so cool because it really is just like it's fun to, like, I see some of the stuff you post on social media too. You don't post that much, but like when you do, it's cool because I could see how much fun you're having.
Yeah, I love to rollerblade. It's just like I don't do it for fitness, but it's also a pretty good form of fitness. But I mean, like, you like Star Wars, although I find like we're a little oversaturated with Star Wars. I also like Star Wars, but it's just some of it and some of it's such crap.
Yeah.
But like, what kind of stuff were you really into as a kid that you're still into now? For me, Metallica, and that's just like I've become a Trekkie of Metallica. Like they're like these old Urmies that go out there and rock, and people always want to bitch and complain they're not doing it the way they would. But like they just bring me infinite joy, and they always have. I've always loved Mortal Kombat, like the lore of it more now than the games. I still play the games. Like a new game comes out, I'll play it, and I don't then go and like dedicate my life to mastering it. But I love that whole universe. You know, football, like Manchester United, since even though that's a tormenting, horrible thing to be into these days, but it's like those are three things that have stuck with me: Mortal Kombat, Metallica, Manchester United. I like to rollerblade. And I'm just curious to know, like, what nerdy stuff, or not even nerdy stuff, but just little passions and sort of nerd points do people have that you've been into since you were little that you, like, will always love?
Jeez, it's a hard list to come up with, Gord. I mean, you mentioned, like, Star Wars, and I've gone off the boil on that a little bit. I mean, the last three movies are crap, and even though I like The Mandalorian, I'm not...
Mandalorian's great.
Yeah, but I'm not, I wouldn't have missed the new episode comes out. I would have been like excited as hell. And it could just be an effect of like being a boring old man, although I try my best not to be. I mean, I'm engaged in a lot of things, but I'm not fanatical about Star Wars anymore. And I think there's something.
The fans, saturation, the green lighting of shitty things, and the attitude of the fans, where it's like,
also,
what I think about art that someone else made makes me better than you.
I do think like there's a difference between enjoying things that you did as a kid and being childish. Like I don't want to. It's a really hard distinction to draw. But I do think like getting really excited about a movie in your 40s is childish.
Yeah, I mean, depends how you get excited. The topic, I watched Where the Crawdads Sing.
Where
Kelly's, Where the Crawdads Sing.
The hell is that?
It's a movie, and it's based on a book. To my eternal shame, I'd never heard of the book, but you know, a couple of people that said, "Oh, the book's fantastic. You should go watch it." My friend Kelly was like, "Let's go to movies." I've been to cinema since a little bit before COVID, so 2019. I'm regular, like during my years in magazines, I'd watch movies a couple times a week and review them, and I just love actually going to the cinema. And so we went to the Labia in Cape Town, which is a fantastic little cinema, and watched this movie. And it's gotten, I then saw that it's gotten quite mixed reviews on like Rotten Tomatoes and whatever. There's obviously some player haters out there that didn't like it, but it's fantastic.
Okay.
A woman who grew up in the marsh in North Carolina is accused of a murder. And in the course of the court case, you find out about this like bizarre life she had living basically alone in the swamp, and how she came to be like a fully formed person that can like do life, even though she was basically there on her own. I won't give any more of it away than that, but kind of like starts in her childhood and brings you up to the point of the verdict where you get the verdict and so on. I cried a little bit. It was fantastic.
Wow. All right. Well, that sounds good. Somebody says here that two of the things, Steph says Tintin and Asterix. Now that I can understand. I've still got Asterix books. When did I last pick them up? Probably like a year ago. And then I read like six in a row one night because I couldn't sleep, and I haven't looked at them since. But I love Asterix. I mean, there's just something amazing about.
I just love reading. Like some things have hugely influenced me, like Dr. Seuss, the rhyming structure, the sort of style of the illustration, and like that very much informs the kids' books that I make now, and that kind of thing. Like I have an absolute love of rhyme, especially if you can tell like a silly story in rhyme. I realized like a couple of years ago when I was getting on this whole books thing that like I'm, for lack of a less douchey word, manifesting a whole bunch of childhood passions. Like, packed nightclubs full of people on drugs, shouting at them to like party, was actually just like a manifestation of my love of verse. And then these silly cartoons I draw, like that influenced me massively. And like on a psychological level, on a creative level, Dr. Seuss primarily, but anything that rhymed. But I absolutely loved the artwork of Asterix. And I loved, like, I didn't pick them all up, but I knew there were, like, loads of puns there. The names of characters and everything. Now, you said you picked them up, like, a year ago, right? I've heard, and I don't care to, like, get political and then go burn them on a fucking pile, but I've heard that, like, those have aged badly in terms of, like, some racial stuff. And I'm like... Yeah, I mean, I haven't really picked one up and looked, but I just remember them being totally innocent. You know, Romans got the shit kicked out of them. Everyone ate, dude, a wild boar. I wanted one of those boars in front of me.
Yeah, me too. All one. Dude, I'm so with you on that.
So bad.
It always looked like the best thing you could eat, right? The way that
you could pick it up and just leave only the rib cage. Yeah. God, I wanted one so bad.
But
and I mean, even an actual boar or a warthog or whatever, when you do it on a spit, it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like a giant fat chicken.
No, exactly.
A skull, it looks more like a starving dog than it does like a giant chicken with drumsticks. No, I actually want to be so wealthy that I get a chef to constitute one out of like other types of meat. You know what I mean? Make one that looks like that, and it's just constructed.
I'm so with you. Yeah, a wild boar would be a good thing. But Asterix is absolutely, like, to me, that's timeless. There's some Roald Dahl stuff that's still kind of timeless as well. I can still get a kick out of reading Revolting Rhymes.
Especially
you know.
Illustrations by Quentin Blake. Oh, jeez, Roald Dahl's great.
So great. So Sanella says, my dad, too, he wouldn't shout at you or anything. If you were late, you just wouldn't find him. I'm exactly the same. No hard feelings. Meeting for coffee, you simply won't find me there. This is for like people who arrive late. We were talking earlier about that and just how punctuality kind of matters, not just in business, but even for friends. I don't know if you've noticed, but people are really shitty about sticking to arrangements. And I try very hard not to be, because the temptation is great, right? You obviously, these days, first of all, I have the opposite of FOMO. So if I can get out of an arrangement, I'm always...
FOMO. Joy of missing out.
So I'm always happy when I can get out of an arrangement, because then I have more. I have this obsession with free time. So if I can look at my schedule and go, okay, I don't have to do anything else for the rest of the day, that gives me such joy, because I'm like, what can I do with that time, right? So that's the one thing. But there's some people who just they really don't know what they're doing from day to day. They don't have a plan. They don't have a schedule. They don't keep a diary. So they sort of say yes to everything and then pitch for half of the stuff.
Yeah, there's the hypothetical yes, and you're going to find out on the day, especially if you've got like limited capacity. Like, I want to make an arrangement. I only have one lunchtime on the weekend. If I do something social, I'm going to go and do this. There's 12 other friends I could have seen, all of whom are eager to see me and I haven't seen in a while. Mm. But now you've taken up that slot and with no time to make a backup arrangement, cancel it. But just to say, like, the punctuality thing and the canceling thing, I agree. If it's like over time, if you develop a kind of habit of that, then it's bad. But there are occasions where somebody's just like, because I always thought, like, when I used to, I have a brilliant job and I work remotely and I absolutely love it. I occasionally go and, you know, I popped in at the London office. The company has a London office. I pop in at the Joburg office when I'm there and I like to go and see everybody. But for the most part, being able to sit at my desk, not having to drive in an hour or worth of traffic to and from work to start work, for me, it drives me nuts. And also, like, even if you have to work in an office, and there's a couple of times where the sales team needs to be together, make 2 half days a week where people have to, and don't make it 9 a.m. Like, I don't know, I've always hated that. So my thing was always like, in order to definitely be on time for work every day, with traffic being the way that it is, especially with load shedding and stuff, I either need to be an hour early, I need to leave 2 hours before work, and then it'll take me half an hour to get there, or occasionally be late because it's not within my control. So if someone texts me and they're like, dude, something has happened, my dog, you know, escaped as I was leaving and I had to chase it down the road, I'm going to be a few minutes late. Like, if I get a text or a notification, so because I've had that situation where, like, you've done everything you can to try and be on time, something unexpected has happened, and now you're running late.
Accidents happen, and, like, not everything's always going to go your way, but it is interesting.
The point is, you can't factor in twice the time you need so that you definitely earn all the time.
But Sharon is pointing out something else that really, really annoys me. And we've talked about this so many times, I almost don't want to bring it up again. But Sharon brought it up, so I'll blame her. Simple concept, yes or no, when you RSVP. It's not a multiple choice question. And also, when you do this, like, I've often had, I'll invite some people around to my house and then I'm catering for them. So there's drink and food and whatever else. And some people just cannot give you a straight answer. And then, you know, if they say yes, they don't pitch. And I'm like, no. I'm paying for all the stuff. I've chosen to invite you. Your only responsibility is to say yes or no. And then if you've said yes, pitch. And if you've said no, not pitch. It's that simple. And I don't need to hear a long explanation. I don't want to know about your, like, your tooth operation that you had on Thursday so you can't make Saturday, or, oh, but, you know, my gran is really ill, or I don't want to know any of that. Just say yes or no. I'm not going to have hard feelings. Just RSVP. It's not an emotional conversation. We don't have to get into each other's lives or how good you feel or how bad you feel, how much you want it to come. I don't care about any of that. I just need to know, for simple catering purposes, are you in or not? That's all. Some people need to give you this long explanation. I'm not interested.
Yeah, I mean, there are occasions, I don't make a habit of it. I don't like to, again, create a particle superposition where I'm either going to pitch or not pitch and the person has to have their event to find out. But, like, I was invited to multiple things this weekend, and at the last minute, well, not the day before, an old friend of mine was like, look, they're having a birthday dinner in Cape Town. They see I'm in Cape Town, like, will I join? And I was like, shit, I would love to, but it depends on how it goes at my other friend's birthday and with the movie and then my other friend's birthday. So the other friend that I had the standing arrangement with, they like to jaw a little bit. There was rugby, and I was planning to kind of go,
hearing your explanation of this means you're one of those fucking people. I'm sorry, Gord. You are one of these people. I mean, I have invited you to something once, and you have.
And you invited me on the day, and I said I would try and come. So this is a great example.
But actually, I'm glad this is, because you are that kind of person. And then you give me this long. I don't need. Just say you can't. Just say you can't come.
I then did say no. I did. I said, let me try to figure it out. Yeah, I'm going to try to make a plan. No. You've given me no notice. And then I was like, sorry, I can't come. And then you gave me a world of shit about it.
Because
it was
not.
The same thing with the their dinner on the weekend.
I was like,
I said,
fuck you, Gord. I said, fuck you, Gord, die in a fire, which was just funny. I didn't actually care. I was fine. There were other people coming too. It wasn't about you.
But I wouldn't. I did try to come to that because I didn't have.
It's not like I'll never invite.
Because I think that's what you're talking about.
No, but it doesn't matter, Gord. But I've just suddenly clicked, like in your long, boring explanation about your mates and the Coke Zeros and all that shit. I'm like, you are that guy. You're the guy who gives a long explanation instead of just saying I can't make it.
No, if I can make it, I say yes. I'll make it. If I say no, I won't make it.
No.
If it's like shit, I'll try. Then it's like shit, I'll try. There's a middle ground. Gareth.
No, you're the guy who has a long, dreary, unnecessary explanation for why you can't make
it. I have that for everything, not only why I can't make it. That's if you ask me what I had for breakfast yesterday. It's the same.
Yes, you're right.
I have a long, dreary, boring explanation for everything.
It is you. You are the guy. You know what? You are that guy. You probably you taught the millennials how to do this. You're the guy. You're the one who started the cancer. I'm blaming you.
Jeez. I started the millennial cancer. That's a lot. Because you and Ben messaged me and said, later we're having an event. Can you come? I said, I'll try today.
There we go. He's explaining again. This, you can't let it go, can you? It's just, you are that guy. There we go. All right. We got lots of other good shit coming your way. If you think that was fun, which I didn't, but you may. There's lots more, including Robbie Collins next.
He's gleefully, mirthfully laughing because you're able to give me
I love it.
About something.
I love it.
All right. That wasn't fun.
Gord Laws is with us, and we will be with him and Robbie Collins just now. CliffCentral.com. Friday morning. I hope you're off to a good start this morning. Yay, it's the weekend. Hooray. CliffCentral.com.